Mr. Gray, real eight. You landed in Greece, Mr. Gray, and you we talked about ELAS and the communists. What was your role in Greece?
Well, we were taught to restore the civil authorities. That was all we were supposed to do. I didn't just kill anybody or fight anybody. Just to restore the civil authorities.
Did you clash at all with the ELAS?
Oh, I wasn't very much, my head wasn't really say. At first, caused trouble, and one day we were called at Athens, and one of the main squares, and this woman was harangueing a crowd, and top of mine, he went and put a pistol up her. And of course, the crowd spread all over the place, and got a sort of little bit of discipline, that sort of went. We got out all right. Another time we went to a besieged police station. Police had been late, the people had been there for days and days, and I remember the smell when I went in. I managed to get up there with a carrier and sort of ease the pressure to get the crowds away. And after that, it did turn nasty when they started attacking us, to say. And spoke with the general in charge. We were told not to fire anyone, not to fire back, and we'll give them right back to the same front. And the Greeks, they didn't want to fight us, the people, but they knew we were sharing our weapons with them. We were extremely short weapons. Ships couldn't get through, and they got them the big one mines. And the Royal Navy done a hell of a job cleaning their mines up. Terrific with mines. As I said, we didn't want to the same front. Right along the coast, the follow-on bay. That's where the 16th Air Line was. And we got the order to attack and save it one night. They just didn't want to fight us. The people were against ELAS as well as against us. So they didn't want to fight us. After that, we went up a crash on a LCT, landing flat tanks. And pilots went up a crash. And we took the town. Without any bother. And the captain of the ELAS commander, and our colonel asked him, he had so many troops at his disposal, why didn't he fight? He says, when I first saw that ship, they were trying to respect. He went bigger and bigger. He says, when that big door opened, the tanks came out. He went away, I had no chance. And then again, what the share of Acme into the class, the pit was starting. The Germans were threatening very, very badly. I think we went back there in March. I think it was March we went back there. When we went there, I wasn't told a damn thing about it. I had no orders, no instructions.
So the people basically were not hostile towards you?
No. I told them, I can't speak Greek because everybody spoke English. The city was lit up at night time, as much as they could, you say. I found the people were very, very nice, very kind. And they all have made a proud boast. Of all the Englishmen left behind in Greece in 1940, there wasn't one betrayed by a Greek. The Germans are killing 60 Greeks, 70 Greeks from one German. There wasn't one Englishman betrayed by a Greek.
The attack you referred to a few minutes ago, when you were driven back to the beach in effect, or went back to the beach, and then drove forward again, do you have any memories of that incident?
No, I was just told to fall back all over the way to came, and there was some funny things happened, all the time they quarters in a house on the seafront in a big garden. And the ELAS captain came and demanded that the time they quarters evacuate the house. And the colonel said more or less to go away, saying close language of course. And the captain said, I'll blow you up. Which they did. They just pressed the button and the whole gate of the wall fell down. There'd been people going in and out with complaints and they must have been planting the jelly there in their house. And I saw the colonel come up there, the gauge and one over the place. Because we were pioneers for 2 cents. Did he show us the mines? But they went up before we got there, you see.
Was that your main task, your own personal task, while you're there, looking for mines? Or
that's right, looking for mines. There was a small area of land which had been used as a football field. And we was an idea of car park as well, wasn't it, park? It was a rough area, and that's a thing, you're ready for one week, it was rough. Yeah, football, one day, I kicked some of his tools in his front garden. As I tell him, I picked him about 400 miles up that place. He picked them, I pulled them. And all the fuses were rotten, were rotten. Now they could have got up any time. As you know, there's no tide in the Mediterranean. And all they had was their own boat, a big bloke in. And they put them on the floor of their own boat and went about 100 yards up the sea, just dumped them in the sea. And another time, what again, picking shoe mines up. This hillside was littered with shoe mines. But when we got there, the geese had all taken away, the boat out. They were all empty. I once bought the German, no damn thing about it.
These were German minefields.
Oh, that's some damn good stuff. The Germans, you know, that what we call made of charges. Quarter kilo, half a kilo, 1 kilo, 2, 3, 4 kilo charges. And the fuses you just screwed in. You could tell a bit of colour for 10 seconds, 20, 30, or 30, 40 minutes. Fuses, you know. And damn good stuff, yeah. Of course, we've got no then better than one of our own stuff. That's always wasn't very good, you know, compared with that stuff, you know. Well, if possible, use explosives.
What other jobs were the pioneers doing?
That was all in Greece. I think there were four men killed all together. Four men killed.
With mines?
No, sniper fire. I see a lot of fire, so we want a lot of fire back. I killed that final deer and couldn't go back there any further because we were in the sleep.
Must have been difficult recognising, you know, an enemy communist in effect, or ILAS, from an ordinary civilian.
Oh, it was very, very difficult. I mean, I had to go to this place. When we're down on the sleep front, what they call magazines, you know, a public house, you know, what we call it. From. And the clientele in there were really nice guys. And one little hunchback group is. He must have been very well read. He and I used to have a discussion. You know, he spoke good English. And he got on about shining pocket chocolate pepper. Do you know that one? Human eyes are quite a faction. Just doing my brother there. Lovely party, we're out at school by an American lady, you know. And he knew that one. The highest mountain in, I believe, in South America. Human eyes are quite a faction. And I had that guy figure out the local bus, communist bus. He was. But he and I got on board together, you see. And at night time, there was nightclubs. But the band was going in full swing. There was more officers than men. We were all on the same boat, and there was no officers mess up with it, you know. Right in the same nightclub. And some of that was a good time. But there's one thing you mustn't do, you mustn't cover everyone, because it's video terrific. You know, we had a little leaflet that appeared in the peer book. And all the married men played all the hell, and the moral to put these things in, which was justified. But the film was left as a weapon of war, you know, during the disease. And there were very, very, very few men got it, you know, and they all took notice.
So this was something the Germans had left
with
the Greek women.
Right. The Germans would never allow them have any medication. And at this time, penicillin was available. Right? But the Germans never allow anybody any medication at all. But I met some nice friends there, actually. Really nice people. Most of them didn't want the king. So,
did they say why they didn't want the king?
Because he was German. He was German. They said the Germans fought on us by a great part after the First World War, which was quite true. Not since the days of Greek mythology have had a king, really. You know, they had their democracy with Metaxas as a dictator, and he was alive. He called the shots. What he said, George, saying in the taxes. He was really a fascist. A benevolent half dictatorship, maybe, but in the country as dry and bottom as Greece, you don't have the have nots in predominance, you know. was very, very dry. The part that I knew was, you know, just outside Athens, round the hill around Athens, you know. Towards the coast of some very blades, pine trees and whatnot. In the middle, it was a dry, barren country.
You were sergeant with the Pioneers, were you?
Aye.
Who was commanding the battalion?
Lieutenant Colonel Burrell. He was a great officer. Great.
Your own officer who was commanding Pioneer Company?
It was only Elliot, the Lieutenant Elliot. He was Lieutenant Rattleman. He was a trainee teacher before the war. He was a teacher training college, and he became an officer automatically.
Did you prefer Greece to Italy?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, I mean the horror of Italy and Greece, you know. You mean they weren't the one fighting the Germans, eh? And then again, as I say, the Greek population didn't want to fight us. They'd need us. There's very, very few want to hurt us, you know.
Yeah, basically you had a common enemy, didn't you, in the Germans.
Oh, indeed. You know, what they did with Greece was unbelievable.
Did you see any signs of the things that they had done to Greeks?
Just the notice board stuff, you know, with Putin and German, of course. The Germans fled before we were there, so we didn't bribe them what the Greeks, but they withdrew. Just from getting, because the Italian company going up. They were going to be cut off, you see. And they actually got a division out before that happened. Didn't do any good, right?
Did any of the battalion get taken prisoner by ALAS?
Oh, yes. They were very, very badly treated. They were so badly treated, they were all sent home. Not the condemned, they were all sent home.
What way did they treat them?
Which way?
What way did they treat them?
Took the clothes off them. It was bitter winter, you know, and very, very bitter winter in the bottom fields. Starvation. They were a hard case for the ALAS people, you know. Well, I presume the reason why they took the boots was because they had no boots themselves. They had nothing, you know. Except weapons, plenty of weapons.
Were these German weapons or British weapons?
British. They did have one or two MG-42s. But the rifles are all the Enfields, but they're being dropped by the RAF, you know, the resistance, eh? I mean, the German withdrew with his witnesses, eh? But they did have one or two MG-42s, they really.
Were these ex-Greek soldiers, or were they just civilians that had took up arms?
No, they were rubble. I would say they were all working with the rubble. The ones we met, you know. They weren't soldiers, they called themselves Andartes. I think they weren't a Greek word for partisans, right?
Were they also fighting against their own people?
Yes,
kind of civil war.
It was a civil war between the two sides, you see, and we were supposed to keep out of it, you know. Because really, we knew it was really nothing to do with us. But we all knew at the time that Stalin was going to put an iron ring around Europe. Long before Churchill made his speech in Fulton, Missouri about the Iron Curtain, we call it the Iron Ring, even the lowest private. From Poland on the Baltic, we'd run to Mediterranean. Even Greece was the last link in the chain. You'd have had the last bottle up to fight. People castigated Winston Churchill for sending us to Greece, but I think he did the right thing. Yeah.
Did you see clashes between the two civilian sides?
No, but I saw the mass graves. There were mass graves. I saw them, you know, the people.
Civil wars tend to be very
bitter,
yes.
Indeed, I saw them as grave. Well, I think that's what turned us against the whole hold-up, when I saw how they treated each other, you know. Some of these cops had their fingers torn off, and there'd been rings on them.
And of course, losing men who were killed after coming through Italy, and then losing them in Greece must have been a pretty hard thing to take.
It was, right. Because one of them was a very good friend, the last guard, Tony O'Brien. He was nearly 40 years old. And he came to us out of the artillery. If I was killed, I mean, I wasn't with him when he was killed, but one of his lads told me, the water was dropping his house. And it was dropping the house. And he went back to see if everybody come out, and they're waiting for him. He was a very sincere practicing Roman Catholic, that man. He'd been engaged the same year for 19 years. And they both had elderly parents. And they wouldn't marry till their parents passed away. Very, very sad.
Did this make the battalion more angry when they did come face to face with the ALAS?
Oh, I sure laughed at the book, you know. But still, the discipline was maintained. We didn't get about shooting at anybody and all that. But what we did do, we found a German warehouse, and all this, and we found the fish hooks. You know? And in the meantime, we put the fish hooks on strings between the trees that was lined the streets and the garden walls, you know. So anybody coming down, you'd take and tangle the fish hooks. And then they lost the fish. Christmas thing, you know, right now, but the modern Christmas things. I spent one morning upon a complete eyeball on one of these books.
You said that most of your own rations, or half of your own rations, you were given to the Greek people.
That's right.
Because they were in such a poor state. And this, of course, must have meant that you were hungry as well.
Oh, all very hungry. Actually, we never got bread, so it didn't really make much difference. We had hard-done biscuits, you know. I once had some hard black bread, I tried it, from a local baker. You weren't supposed to, but some baker, you know, we're getting some biscuits and cornmeal and stuff. Like a small brown tea cake, what they call black bread. Oh, it was full of grit.
Did you take, as most British soldiers do, did you become friendly with the children?
Oh, yes.
They weren't afraid of you?
No, by no means. Not the ones we were living with, you know, they got to know you. And, oh, they were very friendly. There's the one little after the pictures. I sat and saw that in cinema group. And this little girl, a family of nice people, the father of the solicitor's clerk or something. Actually, we were in their house, you see, outside the room. And they received a parcel from the woman's race in Cairo. And it contained a little red blazer for the little girl, and she wouldn't wear it. Because red is the communist colour, see? And one day, I took her to the pictures. It was a Shirley Temple picture, where she looked, her father and mother died, and she'd been in there and looked after by an Indian soldier. And it showed the Queen Victoria, guards, all dressed in red. And the little lass came home, at the parcel, what the parcel, and was living on. And mother said, what happened? I said, this is basically Queen Victoria's soul, he's dressed in guard, dressed in red. But the mother was American, actually, of Greek extraction, and she married this Greek fella. And all the Greek men are 20 years old, and the wives are. I said, well, they ain't more than that, you know. But she looked, she was about 33, and she looked 63, and she was haggard.
So you basically you were billeted then with families in certain areas.
Why not actually billeted with you in the houses? You know, whether they like it or not, you know.
They were requisitioned.
That's right. Also try to be as little trouble as possible.
It mustn't be easy to walk into a house that's a requisition which has the family in it. The relationships must have been a little bit taut.
Yes. Of course, we were all in one small room. There were only four of us in the house, and another brain room, because it was down at the end of the road, you see. But we were up around on the safe front. There was a corner house I found out to be in. And all the people, well, they didn't mind at all. That is the mother's place, just he must have been to tell him they're taking the boy away, he's 15 year old. They're taking him away to Mountain of Soldier. And the poor kid could hardly stand up, you know. And that's why the mother's delighted to see us. You know.
Did you come across this quite often, where young children have been taken away by the ALAS?
15 year old fitness. Took a little lad once, we were screaming down a mad mile up there from Aston to this following day. I sat in my knees, my phone for the driver, and the woman's cubicle horse, you know, suddenly. And he's shouting, get up, and got out. And he just kid standing with a rifle. And we took it up and a steel pack of Vaseline. Had a full magazine and the bore of a steel pack of Vaseline. The kid didn't know what to do. And he's sobbing and crying, and about half an hour later, the three lost captain came down. Didn't mount a rifle taken from me, lost soldier. And Captain Miner said, you're pitiful. You know, I saw the kind of, how dare you go about with a little man like that, you know. And, oh, he was adamant too. As he'd been saying, he's told me, don't fuck it up, Bristol Peters. He'd lost a weapon. We got no life, we got a piece of the house and told the door, you know.
So they moved to see you quite freely then, evidently, at times.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Conley. But when Scobie says attack, that was it. They packed up, put their hands up north and put their hands up north to a fire church. And we had nowhere to put them. And just on the seafront, and there's no tide in the Mediterranean, you know, and the tide was made crossing the long sandy beach, just on the sea wall, that's where that was going. And I believe they were taking her to Brook. They pulled the fence on themselves once they got there, you see. They wouldn't be there very long, going back home.
So your attack was sharp and short?
Oh, that's right.
Did you then advance forward after that? Did you retrace your steps?
Yes, we went about in the city centre, and it was all quiet, and I believe the last nine treaties or something, the Scorpion, I think that was it, and we went up across to get the other groups. So I see when the last skipper, when the last boss saw the tanks come out, he said, that's it, pack up lads, you know. We met the one that shot fire. That's a bit, as I say, we didn't really want to fight this. We were bringing food down. But once the ship started coming, you know, things went very, 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 very different. You know, people had clothes to wear and food to eat.
What time was this? What period of time was this?
March. 1940. No. December 3rd, 1944, when I was in Greece. This would have been up to March 45.
What happened to you then in March 45?
Come back to Italy, ready for the final push.
Had you expected to go back to Italy?
Oh, yes.
So where did you go to in Italy?
Well, we left Forlì in Popoli. Bologna, where, you know, and we were resting a bit again back in the line, but by that time the something collapsed and we made one headlong bash in Austria. We all got a new suit, clean clothes, and we made one headlong bash in Austria.
And it had very little opposition on the way in?
Not at all. Actually, we're missing our own men, we're being prisoners, our own lads. Taken to them over the day before I went to Greece, right, coming down and back north. Right.
Were the Germans retreating quickly, or were they giving themselves up?
Oh, they were giving us packing in boats, you know, they knew what they meant. They might have had nothing, someone getting rides, women's clothes. They knew they had nothing else chance, you know. And that morning, going through the Bright Pass, was the most beautiful morning of my life. Absolute wonderful, beautiful. I see the Ebeck standing on these crags. It was absolutely wonderful. And we dropped down the other side into Villach, across and forth way. The grass was that high, the same grass. And we all wondered how anyone from such a beautiful place as this could not think of the first name Greece. There were Austrians in Greece who were. The army of Stalingrad was Austrian.
But there were no Austrians in Greece?
No, there were Czechs, Poles.
Where did you go to in Greece, in Austria?
Right, we supposed to head for a place called Judendorf. I think it's called Judendorf. But the Red Army came down 20 kilometres further than they should have done. So we had to stop when we met them, and it was 4 months before they withdrew.
Do you recall meeting them? The first meeting?
Across a bridge. There were mongrel troops we saw. Siberian,
friendly or?
Oh, they were quite friendly to us, you know. I mean, actually, we had to go to Vienna. One of the first British troops in Europe, 16 day alive, for the British month. See? Not to pass through the Russian zone. You know, just stand there waving flag, waving you in, and the Russian soldiers. And Russia would do the demonstration month in Vienna.
That would be the victory march, was it? The war would, war would be over.
And we were on bodyguard of Winston Churchill, General de Gaulle, Marshal Conyers, and General Mark Wayne Clark. He was there before me. But Churchill was the only politician. And when they came up the conference hall, down these great steps, the three other fellows stood back there and called first with Churchill.
Did you get close to him?
Oh, yeah, aye, yeah. Five times close to Churchill, down in Scotland, and in Greece. In Greece, you know, he came to Greece twice, I think it was twice. And he stood up in Constitution Square, in a company full of weapons. Anybody could have shot, because we wanted, we were going to find a base. There was no British soldiers there. And he just told the Greeks what he thought of them. For doing what they were doing to us, you know. He just told them straight, you know. But, of course, British soldiers drag, you know. And, this family had a little balcony, see? And I told the little girl and the mother that I'd met Churchill three times, you know, which I did at Barney Castle. And the funny thing was, as he drove past, he's standing in the car, and there was one of those loaders sitting out in the crowd. The little girl goes, "Mr. Churchill, he's your good friend, Ted." I don't suppose he spoke Greek, but if he just turned away, he got that instantly saying,
What was your role in Austria?
Well, we were very, very thin on the ground, the British, and they were trying to stop the those guys coming from Yugoslavia. Looting, robbing, raping, and all the whole bloody nothing there. Trying to drive them fellas back. Then, of course, there was the Vlasov divisions, the Cossacks, who'd been on the German side. But to keep them, you know, contained. It was a very, very sad thing, really. They were working class people and had been betrayed by the leaders, you know. People have promised their own autonomy, which they didn't ever get. It was seven divisions for them, and two divisions were in our division, you know. And, all day long was horses, horses, horses. For days on end, horses, horses. The poor bugs had come 1,000 miles and more, so, you know. And, we'll allow to take one or two for our own equitation purposes, you see. But,
were they in some form of a prison camp?
No, not at all. They looked after themselves. There was one strand of wire around that area, just one strand. And some places there was no wire at all. And I had their own, I put the, it was springtime. And the mayor being serviced by the stallions, oversaw all that. And their general came and had a dinner with our general. I saw that on the field opposite us. And we had all the silver on the table and the band was playing. And they gave demonstrated trick riding. Five men riding alongside each other, five horses standing up, covering one or each horse going step on each horse and falling back and remarkable. And they knew they were going to be shot. They must have known. But I mean, we were never told that it's going to go over. It was all in third, if anybody wanted, if they wanted to run away, they were turning a blind eye. Yeah, let them have the rising bed. Let them have the rising bed.
With them?
Aye, yes. Yeah. They lit their own fire, they cleaned their own area up. I mean, the horses tethered long lines. They were there with the brush twigs, you know, every morning. Right, cleaning the place up, you know.